Thank you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast about PR pros and marketers who work for themselves. I am Michelle Kane, and my company is Voice Matters, and I am here with my wonderful co-host, Karen Swim, who, among other things, is the head honcho of Solo PR Pro. That is the trade organization that brings all of us solos together. Hi, Karen. How are you today?
I am good, Michelle. How are you? Happy Monday.
Monday. Yes, we're recording this on a Monday. So when you hear this, it'll be Monday a week ago. And aside from some technology bizarro world stuff today, I'm okay, you know, for a Monday.
Yeah. And you know what? It's the technology stuff you just sort of have to power through. Sometimes it, you know, goes perfectly and sometimes it doesn't. But I think that we both learn to just, you know, kind of roll with it. You can't stop what you're doing, unfortunately. That's not always the luxury that we have. So you just have to roll right through and, you know, just keep it moving.
Exactly. We have no other choice but forward.
That's true. I mean, you can't let technology blunders get in the way of your mission. And, you know, it's funny because today we're actually talking about virtual conferences which have a lot of technological components to them and little things that you have to think about. But we're not focusing on that. We're just talking about virtual conferences, in-person conferences, kind of where we are in the world today and, you know, the pros, the cons, and if you should or if you shouldn't, and just kind of wait it out.
Right. Exactly. I know I've seen some conferences I've had my eye on have gone virtual. I got my virtual ticket to the Pennsylvania Conference for Women. So, you know, I'm still looking forward to it, although I, you know, there is that excitement of being there, but at the same time, you know, sometimes you weed yourself out of going to a conference because you think, oh, I really can't take that much time away from work, or ooh, that's too expensive. So it's kind of a 50-50. And, you know, I think for each of us, we have to evaluate what works best for us. I think the one bright point in this, and, you know, hopefully it's just for this year, is that, you know, maybe there's a conference that's been out of your league as far as being able to afford it, but in presenting it virtually, the prices have tended to be lower because, of course, they know you're not getting that in-person experience. So, you know, it could be a chance for us solos, you know, who only have a certain budget for conferences to attend things that we might not normally.
You know, it's interesting because there are so many things to consider when you are considering, you know, going virtual. And I almost feel like to some degree, for those that had to make the pivot to go virtual earlier on in the pandemic, they may have gotten greater participation than they will now. Because I believe that there's a population of people that are sort of, they have virtual fatigue. We've done everything virtually for a period of, you know, 90 to 100 days. Things are starting to reopen slowly. It's not the same as it was, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, but there are reopenings and, you know, it can be more difficult actually, even though it's more convenient, it can be more difficult to block out time for a virtual event than it is when you are planning to travel, because then you're there, you're in that, you know, location conference. So you're going to sessions and you're paying attention because you spent money and you're in a place away from your regular workspace.
Right.
It's tougher to show up for virtual events when they're so, you know, they're convenient, they're accessible from the comfort of your, you know, your laptop or your desktop. But at the same time, it's really easy to not make time for it.
I agree. I mean, how many of us sign up for the webinar because we know we'll get the recording, and then from there, how many of us don't end up watching it at all?
The recording, yeah.
And that is a concern for conferences because, you know, we all, well, I know myself, and you know, if the work comes across your desk and, you know, you see things that you would, you know, you just want to take care of, you like tend to do it. It's, you know, I, not that we need to think of a workaround, but you know, if you're thinking of attending something virtually, maybe it's an opportunity to dovetail it with, you know, another item we've talked about before of setting up a little retreat for yourself as your company. And maybe, you know, it's still not as expensive. Maybe you just check out that new hotel in the neighborhood and, you know, give yourself a little conference space. You know, maybe that will do the trick for you. Or
that, yeah, I love that. You know? That's a great idea. It's sort of like creating your own conference experience as opposed to having to pay to fly somewhere and paying for, you know, your stay and your food. Maybe it's just, you know, hanging out somewhere in your own community that's away from your workspace that gives you the opportunity to really be fully there, particularly for, you know, these virtual conferences that are really a full conference experience online, mm-hmm. where it's, you know, multiple sessions over, you know, a series of hours, then getting away from it all so that you really can be plugged in is not a bad idea. I love that idea.
Right. Well, yeah. Thank you.
You know, and I was thinking that, you know, it would be nice for conference organizers as they're planning this to think through some of that and offer ways to, you know, create a different type of conference experience, because everybody focuses on, you know, it being virtual and, you know, it being convenient and accessible, but maybe they should, you know, come up with ideas to fully engage people and offer, you know, thoughts about how to get the most out of this. And I also love, you know, maybe that's also combining several bite-sized experiences, you know, not like having the whole entire conference just be a lot of virtual presentations where you're sitting at your computer screen and just watching people talk.
That's right, Belle. We don't like that. I think all this conference talk is making Belle think that you're going to leave her.
Poor Belle. Yeah, she is okay with me traveling for a couple of days, but any longer than that and she starts to miss me. So yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen conferences, for example, send swag to the people who signed up, which creates one facet of that experience. But I think that you have to not just rely on going from in-person to virtual without thinking through other details. Like, think about creatively, what other things can you do to get people excited about participating in the event? Can you do little mini workshops where people get to interact with one another online?
Yes. Yes. Because isn't that part of it too? You know, the people that you meet?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's been one of my favorite part of attending in-person conferences is catching up with people that you only get to see, you know, once or twice a year at these big events, meeting new people, getting to network and, you know, being in that environment. And again, you know, in-person conferences are definitely a financial investment, but there's nothing that really beats that experience of being completely away in a different location, only with participants, you know, that are participating in the same event and getting to meet and see lots of different people.
Right, right. I mean, it might be nice, like you say, thinking of different outside the box ways of interacting. And I love the idea of, you know, breakouts within the day or even, you know, quarterly meetups then, you know, maybe create a community around your conference that's ongoing that keeps your presence alive throughout the year and also acts as a lead in to the day when you can be in person again. And that might, you know, adding that value and having that, you know, making people feel a part of what you have to offer could lead to higher attendance in the future. You know, who knows?
I love that. You know, and I was thinking, you know, even before this, there have been lots of, you know, virtual experiences. So we've always had webinars, nothing new. We've always had, you know, there have been on-demand workouts. You know, I've been part of like the Daily Berm community since they started years and years ago. Peloton is a great example of offering, you know, that virtual experience to a studio workout. And I think that some of the things that make those things work is the engagement and the participation of the community. So community does form around the virtual event. So I love that suggestion to think beyond just this one-time event, but how can you really bring people together and allow them to extend that experience beyond just a session?
Right, right. Almost building an, you know, an online community, a virtual community where people can pop in and, you know, discuss things and, you know, I don't know how they would, you know, whomever it is, how they would want to set it up, but at least it gives, you know, access to each other and the sessions throughout the year. I mean, you know, again, I always name check the Conference for Women. They have an app that throughout the year, you can go back and listen to the sessions and everything's kind of there at your fingertips, which is really nice because it doesn't matter if you're in person or if it's virtual. It can just be overwhelming by a certain time of the day. You've just said enough. Yeah. I cannot take in another word.
Yeah. A few months ago, there was this fantastic conference and I won't say the name of it. I mean, it was fantastic. Like the content was amazing and covered so many areas. And I signed up with every intention of participating in as many sessions as possible. And I got through maybe two. And then I just couldn't, you know, I just, my attention span, you know, went back to work and I couldn't do it. And I'm sad that I didn't. And then of course it becomes overwhelming to try and work in 22 replays into your life. And so,
right.
You know, you just, it's like, okay, well that, you know, a couple sessions that I attended, those were good. And that's about all that I'm going to do. So, you right. know, and I think those types of decisions are also something that conference organizers have to really carefully think through in determining whether or not it makes sense to go virtual. Like, you know, right. you even have like, I don't know about in other states, but here in Michigan, there are restaurants that have said, you know what, we're not going to reopen to dining right now, even though dining is possible because of the restrictions with, you know, not full capacity. They're waiting until the next wave when it's fully reopened because it doesn't make sense.
Right, right. And absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I actually applaud that because I, you know, it's a business decision, you know, doing what everybody else is doing just for fear of being left behind is not the smartest thing to do. So while it seems like, okay, well, people either don't want to travel to in-person events or employers may not be, you know, are no longer budgeting for in-person events. So we should just go virtual. That decision has to take into account the many other factors. You know, does going virtual serve your needs? Is it going to be financially viable? Is it going to be something that accomplishes the same goals as your in-person event? Will you be able to get people to be really engaged? And what does virtual look like? I mean, there's just so many decisions rather than just, well, everybody's going virtual, so that's what we're going to do too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we've had a number of restaurants do the same. They've stated, you know, we need to be able to provide the safety for you and the type of experience that reflects who we are. So they've simply chosen not to.
That's really smart. I mean, and you know, there are some people that actually are still planning their in-person conferences, and even that comes with so many different things to think through. You have think through, you know, your safety measures and social distancing and whether or not, you know, providing, you know, all of those little extras around sanitation and health. It's just goodness, a lot of decisions to be made.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's definitely, and especially, you know, we have so many unknowns and, you know, even when, this is going to sound convoluted, but, you know, even in normal situations, when you have unknowns, as in, you know, are we going to get rained out? Well, we don't know. We don't even know what the unknowns are. You know what I mean? You know, if we get a huge flare up or because this is such a new virus. So we don't know even what we don't know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, not to discourage anyone who's planning something in person, but it's certainly a risk for sure, you know? So,
yeah. I mean, I've seen some people planning maybe like localized events and feeling like they have some control over that. There are a couple of, you know, international conferences that haven't officially canceled yet. So, yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, again, this whole entire year has been a lesson that I believe reinforces what we as public relations professionals tell our clients on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Have a plan, think through the what ifs, be prepared with a backup plan if some component of your original plan just doesn't come to pass. Because, you know, when you're thinking through all of these issues in advance, and if you're deciding, you know, that you are moving forward, then you should have a plan for when things change as well.
Correct. Correct. I know I'm working with an organization that's trying to make, you know, their live event happen. And there's something you might consider doing too, if anyone out there is planning, you know, whether a conference or an event, is consulting with your county or whatever local jurisdiction board of health and work with them. Let them know what you plan on doing. See if they have any recommendations at the outset. So at least you can then tell the people that you're inviting, okay, we're working with the board of health. This is our plan. This is what we're going to do. And it's really the best time to communicate as clearly as you can. All the levels, all the steps, you know, I think throughout this whole COVID situation, just clear communication, just upfront. Here's how it is. Here's our plan. If it goes south or north or east or west. And, just so people know what they're getting into. And I think that goes a long way in, you know, providing people a comfort level of making their choices.
That is a fantastic idea. I love that idea about working with local health officials, and that I agree. That adds, and it helps you as well, because, you know, these decisions can't be made without a team of experts. I mean, even in the best of times, it takes an army to really pull off a conference. There's so many details.
Yeah.
So I love that idea. That's a great idea.
I mean, all you can do is do the best you can and be as careful as you can. And, you know, if you still want to go live and in person, that's great. But, you know that there are opportunities in going virtual. And, you know, as not that I need one more tchotchke, but as a swag bag fan, I like the idea of still sending me the swag bag if anyone's listening out there.
I agree. I mean, the swag, it's usually one of the fun things. And hey, this year, if it gets shipped to you, at least you don't have to worry about trying to fit it in your suitcase home.
That's right. I mean, you know, in the era of all the different subscription boxes out there, join the ranks.
But, you know, I'm also a fan of people taking that big live person event and breaking it up into bite-sized content pieces over time. So, you know, your live in-person event doesn't have to be a virtual in-person event in a single day, you know,
that's
with
true.
6 hours of programming or over several days. You really can. You can start to think through being more creative. Can some of your material be put out as YouTube content that people can go and watch? Can some of it be audio content? Can some of it be written content? Can some of it be small, you know, Zoominars where, you know, there's 20 minutes of talking and then interactivity? So, I mean, be creative and think, again, not just like a one-to-one creation, like we do this and so we're just, now we're going to do it online, but think through how you really change it up. And rather than recreating a live experience, think about creating a virtual experience that's truly engaging and truly, truly significant and meaningful to your participants. And I think that that's, you know, that shift in thinking about it can yield to a whole new world of ideas and ways that we do things.
I agree. I love that idea, and especially the idea of, you know, if you choose to use YouTube, You can go live. I think even LinkedIn, you can go live now. So I'm not sure about saving if you go live on LinkedIn, but certainly YouTube, then that will be there in your library. So both ways are terrific avenues to reach your audience if you're a conference planner. And yeah, and if you're an attendee, I mean, there are still opportunities for sure. So, you know, even though chalk some of these in-person conferences up to yet another thing that we're delaying till 2021, it's okay. You know, you can still get the value out of it. And on the planning side, you can still provide value. And really, it all comes down to creating relationships and sharing knowledge, right? So whatever way you can make that happen, go for it.
And on that note, thank you so much for listening and joining us for another episode of That Solo Life. I'm Karen Swem, and with my fabulous co-host, Michelle Kane, we really appreciate your participation and your support. Remember to subscribe and like us and share it with someone else. Share the love. We will see you next week.
Yay.